The answer for 1991. We got to answer that question. Now we're facing something hard. As you hear, as we hear about this down lower state, there's millions and thousands of people. They're going to swarm in after 1991. If we sell our share of the land claim, if we sell our share, you know what's going to come up. We won't even have a place to go fishing. That's a hard proposition to face. So we got to prepare ourselves for our young generation. Give them a lot of wisdom. Give them a lot of advice. This is the way we. This is my idea, and there's a lot of your young generation here, young people here, got very good mind, good memory. So, look into it and study it. See? This is the way to look at it. But if you share you sell your share, that's it. That's the end of the road. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Could we have your name, just for the record?
Pardon me?
Your name, just for the record.
My name is Elliot Johnson, Sr. Living in Fort Yukon all the rest of my life.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you very much.
I think there's one thing that Martha also mentioned was that the fact that it has been established long time ago by our forefathers that the land is, we are the ownership of the land, and it has been carried on that way, and to maintain it that way.
Yukon, Alaska. One thing that always concerned me most was, like myself as a young person, and I'm sure that there's a lot of other young people here that don't understand too much about what's going to happen in 1991, and that's one of the concerns that I have is the land and everything. What's going to happen to that, and what's going to be the future for these younger people when they get, you know, of age and so forth? What are they going to be able to do if this land is gone and if it's not theirs, if they don't have their right to it? What's going to happen to them? So that's my concern and everything, and I believe that this land has, like Martha says, been our forefathers for generations and generations, and and I don't think it's right that if anybody would just try to come in and say, since 1991 is a big issue, we should make, you know, these things known to these kids, so that way, you know, education is one of the main things that these kids need to know about the land and how they're going to benefit by it. So, you know, it's one of my concerns.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Alexander.
Beep. sanskritil kohalte. Kontak Arctic Village kohalte, esiko tsukotle. 1906. Esitai konnata varautli tsakhoa. Tinji juuri. Hata avdishi tsakko kolleikhoa. Esitai Esiko village tsakkoa. Ondokset. Hata esiko on shenerihin tsikki tsatrain kongori tsikki kontai. Also dann heile san alter alter nicht jet ich war heile hin zu kon bei konkrete kon bei es ist das sagt egwitat za sai jo jo chung sai jo gra also sat titi kon bei ka sat takle jo also so bei gut und da kra kon bei da takle kun sin kon bei I concrete the God thing. What kind of that? Which Titi kiivitä kohtaa tulonta kevääsi ainkon aji juokan kuten tätä jäänistä anti, että juokan suk päin sinnetä juokan sukri kekuin, tässä tätä sinnehän jä kuta tak nerkolin, että sukri kuten tätä. Kolain kuin tätä, joku kukaan joku chung kotiuja tyyni kuin tätä chung sotraver, jotta kuitenkin tämä kohdalla, anyway kun tätä ke chung tyyni tekoi, ai jotta kohti kanalla tai ke johdalla tätä tekoi tehdä, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. Good. Thank you.
His name is Stephen Peter. He was born up around the Arctic Village area in 1906. And in them days, there was no white people around, only natives. And they used strictly subsistence. And they traveled around in summertime. Everything was pure, you know, all the animals were healthy and all the water clean. No pollution, and everybody was healthy. The only time people got sick, or nobody got sick, only time somebody is down is when he's had some kind of accident where he get damage to his body. And in 1914, he said he can remember real well. He can remember back that time that village were starting to stay one place. Up to 1914, they were more or less nomadic people. They go around and live on fish in the summertime. And they wait until the animals get better towards fall time. That would be where the animals get fat, and then they would go out and hunt and put up food for the winter. And he said it was really different in them days. And now there's a lot of different kind of food, mostly white man food, where people are using more and more of the white man food, and things are a lot different. And he just wanted to say, to tell you this, that I'm just telling you what he remember. Hope I didn't leave anything out, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Peter.
My name is Mardo Solomon. This taxation that's been cropping up that we may be facing in 1991 now, in what area are we subject to be taxed? We have the land claims. We have... property in Fort Yukon, and we have the native allotments. Are all those going to be subject to tax?
Well, the allotments won't be taxed. If you have a native allotment, it can't be taxed before 1991, and it can't be taxed after 1991. And if you have a restricted town site deed, from the old days, that can't be taxed either. But what we're talking about are the native corporation lands, and they could, 20 years after the corporations got their land, if you count 20 years from that time, then their land could be taxed, even if it's not developed, even if it's just subsistence land and doesn't generate any revenue. And so that's a problem that has to be considered, that's all. But if you've got an allotment, it can't be taxed ever, so there's nothing to worry about if you've got an allotment.
Is there anyone else in that corner that would like me to bring the microphone there?
Or would like to come up to the front here. We have a little time before supper, I think.
Thank you. My name is Steve Guinness. First, I'd like to thank you for coming here to... here are concerns about the Native Land Claims Act. Basically, I just would like to address the 1991 issues and how I feel about what's going on with that. I've been involved in various workshops pertaining to the 1991 issues, and it seems to me from the Alaska Federation of Natives conference that I attended, that the regional corporations are being pretty much charged with trying to educate the rest of us shareholders. And I feel strong that they're not doing enough to come out and assist these village corporations, because it is a crucial issue for a lot of us. Something that we're faced with, and if we're not educated well enough, then we certainly can't be expected to make any reasonable decisions regarding those issues. The land base is something that I also feel strong about. And some of the things that's going on with our lands as far as the regional corporation is concerned, is I don't see no plan whatsoever as far as Doyon Limited is concerned of redistributing land to the people that own it in the first place. This village corporation here at least is trying to make some attempts in redistributing the land. But at the same time, though, it's costing us to for that land. I mean, we're not. It's not just being passed out to us. There's a cost involved, which I don't know if it's right or wrong. I can't say if it is right or wrong, but it just seems to me that it belongs to the people and that it ought to be distributed out to us because we do have a problem in our community here, because there's just all we have here in the community is just the town site lots. And some people have a large family, and I think the corporation is headed in the right direction right here locally of trying to distribute land out. But what I question is just the money, the costs that they attach to this thing. Subsistence is another area that is a real concern, I think, to a lot of people. I know that the Native Village Council here is trying to work out setting aside some land that would be used primarily for subsistence activities. But it also involves Doyon lands also. And I think the problem is going to be is trying to get the approval of all the Doyon shareholders to do what this Native Council here is planning to do, as far as trying to set up some land aside for future subsistence use. But talking about 1991, there has to be more education, more emphasis put on this, because we're only talking about more years down the road here. And like I say, I just don't feel like there's really much being done about it on the local level and on the regional level. And those people that are on our regional corporations are the ones that are primarily the ones that are really getting educated, because they're the ones that are attending all these retreats that they refer to, that they all go to. But it's not coming back to the people that it's affecting, and that's those people that's just sitting in the audience here. And if we're not properly educated about them, we're not going to be able to make the right decisions. I know there's some 8 resolutions that were introduced at the Alaska Federation of Natives that most people here probably are not even aware of. There's probably some people here that are aware of some of the issues that's involved in 1991, particularly the selling of stocks. And that's one thing, as far as I'm concerned, I would not want to see happen, is people selling their stocks. I know some people have a lot of complaints about their own village corporations of how they're spending their money and some of the actions they're taking. But I still feel that we need to support them regardless of how we feel about what they're doing, because, you know, we're just setting ourselves up if we sell our stocks. I think that would be a real severe mistake, because I feel strong that our ancestors, our grandfathers, grandmothers, and back as far back as you want to go, have gone through such a hard, tough life that I think by giving up your stocks, you're depriving those people that work so hard for us to be where we are today. And talking down those same lines, these elderly people, I really have a lot of respect for the old people that are here, because I can imagine just the kind of hardship that they went through and the work that they went through for us to be here. With that, I'd like to thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kenneth.
That's about as far as you want to go.
Would you like to say something?
No.
Sure.
Later.
Just, did you want to speak later? Okay. Well, it's almost 5 o'clock. Maybe I should just thank all of you for coming. I think we're going to have the potluck supper in a while, and I guess some people want to get home. I just want to thank you for. The presentations that were made, they are helpful to me in knowing how you feel about these issues. I know these issues are a little hard to follow at times, but, you know, I didn't invent all this. I'm just trying to make it as simple as I can so that we can talk about it intelligently. And I think you do understand some of the main questions. You've got a choice to make. Do you want to be able to sell your shares and get some money, or do you think that the native land should stay in native hands? Well, if you think that way, then the question is, what are you going to do about it? And a lot of ideas have been talked about. One of them is to get Congress to pass a law that says you can't sell your shares. That way your corporations would remain native corporations. Other people have said, and I think one or two did this afternoon, let's transfer the land from the corporations to the IRAs or to some other entity. And Jonathan Solomon said, maybe we should take the land that is held by Doyon and divide it up among all the villages. Then if anybody takes over Doyon, there won't be any land there for them to take over. The villages will have the land. Now, that's what Mr. Solomon said, and no one's actually suggested that until now. I've been traveling all over Alaska for 10 months, and that's the first time that idea was put forward, and I guess it shows that you find new ideas if you keep traveling, keep listening. So those are some of the ideas that people have put forward, and I want to think about them. I think that that's probably I've talked enough this afternoon, and after the potluck supper, we'll reconvene the meeting, and I know some of you would like to speak then. Some of you who have been here today would like to speak later on, and I look forward to that. And I do appreciate what each one of you has said, and I appreciate the fact that you're concerned enough to take the time to talk about these questions. So I think if that's all right with everybody, we can adjourn the meeting now, and then we'll reconvene after the potluck supper around 7 or 7:30 or 8. So is that okay, Clarence? Okay, well, that's it for now.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
You'd be here till midnight.
That's okay. Okay. No, that's fine. Well, we don't have as many present as we did this afternoon, but maybe we might just see if this would be a good time to start again. Let me just begin by saying that I really enjoyed the potluck supper, and so did the folks traveling with me, and we want to thank you for it. It was very nice. When we met this afternoon, I talked a little bit about the land claim settlement and 1991 and these issues that had come up, and if you don't understand the land claim settlement fully, well, then you're in pretty good company, because I don't think anybody really understands it fully. So don't feel troubled by the fact that you don't know all the details about the land claim settlement. What I'm here for is really to find out what you think about ANCSA, the land claim settlement, how it's worked out, as far as you can tell, how you feel about the question whether or not you should sell your shares, how you feel about the land and the future of Alaska Natives. I spoke at some length on these subjects earlier today, and quite a few of you were here, so I don't really think I should go into them all over again, but maybe we could see if any of you would like to speak. As I told you, Jim Sykes, who's traveling with me, is taking everything that's said down on tape, and it's typed up so there will be a permanent record of what Alaska Natives have said at these gatherings. I've been to 48 villages. This is the 49th village. I've been traveling all year, and listening to people like yourselves. And so far, about 1,000 people have testified at these hearings, and we've learned an awful lot. If you speak, if you wouldn't mind just stepping up here and speaking into this microphone so that what you say can go down on tape. And that's important to me because I have been asked by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People to write a report about ANCSA, and they are going to submit it to the United Nations. And I'm going to send it to all the village corporations and IRAs and regional corporations and non-profit corporations so that Alaska Natives can use my report and the recommendations I will have to make in deciding what, if anything, they intend to ask Congress to do. So I hope I will be able to help you, and I intend also in my report to make recommendations to Native people in other countries so they can learn from what has happened here in Alaska. So that's why we want everything down on tape, so that nobody can argue later about what Alaska Natives think about the land claim settlement. There it is. They have spoken. So that's what we're trying to do. We heard about 15 people this afternoon. About 15 people gave testimony this afternoon, and it was very helpful. And I was very pleased. So if somebody would like to come forward and speak here, you may. Go right ahead.
I think why I was reluctant about coming up here earlier was because of my total ignorance concerning land claims. Just about all I know about land is that we own some. It's very dear to my heart, and if it were ever threatened, I would like to be able to fight for it. The things... Velma Wallace.
Thanks.
The things that I'm going to be saying are really right off the top of my head, things that I wanted to really say probably won't come out because of my utter stage fright right now. Well, I think a lot of people, especially in the Yukon Flats, are ignorant about the land claim issues. I was talking to some people tonight and asking them why don't they come up and talk. And they said one answer was, I don't own any land, so why should I come up? And another was, I don't know anything about the land claim, so why should I speak about something that I don't know about? And another one, they don't feel strong enough about the issues. They don't know what this is all about. And I think what I'm really up here is just to encourage you people that are in there that really want to say something to come up here and talk right off the top of your head like I'm doing. It's kind of embarrassing to sit up here and ramble, but then I like to just encourage the younger people, whoever's left. A lot of people have left because nothing's really flowing here like it should be, because I know a lot of people in this town have a lot to say about the land claims and the issues. Our fears, our frustrations, our total ignorance. I think that maybe our representatives should maybe submit some sort of or rather talk to our faces and explain about the land claim issues, explain how we're being threatened and what we should do about it. And like someone said today, we're almost being, the fear is being set into our hearts. People are saying you're being threatened in 1991. Your lands and stocks are in jeopardy. Those are the things that I understand, because a lot of people here in town don't really live on their land. They live here in town, and so when the stock 1991 comes up, a lot of people aren't going to have too much trouble selling out everything that they've got. I personally would not like. I wouldn't want to see that, because I live on my land. I'm going to be going up there at the end of this week, and every time I think about it, every time I think about 1991 and whatever my understanding is of it, I get scared because I don't want my land to be sold or threatened by anybody. The land isn't mine personally. It belongs to my parents. They were the ones that were able to sign up for this land that was theirs.
That's an allotment, is it?
Yeah. That was theirs in the first place. My dad didn't want to sign up for the parcel, the land, because he always thought it was his in the first place. And my mom was the one that was forced to sign up for four or five parcels this past couple of years ago. BLM came forward and told us that we signed up for too much parcels and that we were supposed to let one go. When you ask a native to let part of their land go, it's really destructive toward one's self-image almost. It's like, you know, we're going to have to make decisions. We're going to have to get up there and make decision between our land. And I bet a handful of us that don't want to see our stocks and our lands being sold. And there's a lot of other people out there that I'm afraid. I don't know this for a fact, but it's just my suspicions that a lot of people are going to be selling their lands and stocks. And I don't really know what this herring is all about. I don't even know if it could save our... I don't even know if there's going to be any solutions out of this whole thing. I just hope that people come together, the native people, and talk this over and see if we have any options, any alternatives to save our land and our stocks, to keep it within the native hold. I for one, predict that 20 years from now, we're not going to own any land or stocks, and that's frightening to me. And I think I'll speak later, but right now I'm going to sit in the crowd because I'm getting the shakes. So
can I just ask you a question, Ms. Wallace? Were you here this afternoon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you have an allotment, like your parents' allotment, uh-huh. a native allotment, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about that. That's yours, and nobody can take that away from you after uh-huh. 1991. Nobody can take it over, and nobody can impose taxes on it. Mm-hmm. But when the settlement was reached back in 1971, mm-hmm. the great bulk of native land in Alaska title was given to the corporations, the mm-hmm. native corporations, and so if, as you say, if folks sell their shares in 1991, non-natives could take over the corporations, mm-hmm. and then they would own the land.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't own the allotments,
uh-huh.
but they would own the corporation land. You know, it's an interesting thing. You say you think a lot of folks would sell their shares.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would they sell? Because they needed the money?
Right off the bat, if someone were to walk up to me, if I hadn't known that, you know, if I hadn't known that the land was mine, or if I didn't have a place to come back to that I'd want to, you know, someone came up to me and offered me something like $60,000. Right now I don't have a dime in my pocket. I take it. I wouldn't even consider my stocks. And this is what a lot of people are, to me, it seems that this is their attitude. If you were to take a survey and go around town and ask people that own stocks that don't have a cent in their pocket, they'll sell off right off the bat. You know, they just... You give them the money, and they'll sell their stocks regardless. They don't know. They don't know. I think what entails selling their stocks. I don't. Like I said, we're very ignorant. A lot of us about the land claim issues. It was something that I never really thought about until I lived on the land. Before that, I was thinking money. That's all I was thinking before that. But I got back to the land, and now I'm feeling threatened because 1991, I think that maybe there should be a newsletter printed telling us in simple English what this is all about, because a lot of us don't understand a high vocabulary, The older people that were here today, I don't think that they understand it completely. It's got to be put down, everything that about native land claims should be put down into their language, which is simple English, like mine. I don't understand policies, acts, etc. I understand simple English. If you say that my land is going to is threatened, I'll understand that. If you tell me that I'm going to have I have alternatives of saving my land, and a lot of other people's, I'll understand that. But if you go on a long, big speech about that I don't understand, then I'm going to feel threatened, ignorant, prejudiced, and it's not going to get me anywhere. I'm just going to be living in pure misery, thinking that someone's going to take over my land, my stocks, and that's what's going on right now.
Well, some places we've been, people really seem to understand very well what's likely to happen. Uh-huh. And you seem to understand it pretty well, too. You know you've got shares.
I think I was forced to understand it.
You know that if you sell them, you're really selling an interest in native ancestral lands. Mm-hmm. When you're asked, would you sell? Somebody handed you $60,000, it'd be pretty hard not to.
Mm-hmm.
This you can weave a lot of big words around it, but that's one of the issues, and it's just that simple. And let me ask you this. If people did understand what's at stake, do you think they would be inclined to sell their shares? Or do you think there should be a law passed that says they shouldn't be allowed to sell their shares? Or do you think the land should be transferred from the corporation to an IRA or to a cooperative or to a non-profit where it couldn't be taken over? Any ideas about those alternatives?
Well, lately I've been hearing the word sovereignty, and it's just something that's been planted, and I like the idea. I'm not totally informed about it, but it sounds like something that I've been thinking all along. Why even have a controversy over something that was never theirs? I think that most Alaskans, Native Alaskans, tend to be very jealous over their land, and since people are coming in, they're inevitably going to take over most of our resources. We're just threatened. All I can say is that I don't feel confident right now. I feel very upset about the whole situation. When you ask me about land, you conjure up a lot of feelings that I don't really like, because it makes me something that I don't want to be, prejudiced, you name it. Doubt, I have doubt, I have fears. And what you've just been telling me right now, you've explained it to me where I could understand. That's not been done before.
Well, look, you've had land claims since 1971. You've got corporations that send out newsletters. You've got schools where they have teachers. You've got newspapers, television. Hasn't there been any dissemination, any distribution of information about all this? 13 years is a long time.
Yeah. Well, when land claims first came out, I was like just a child. I didn't understand it. And very recently, about, say, 4 or 5 years ago, I became real concerned with it because it involved me. It threatened me, and that's when I started to open my eyes. And as you probably noticed, I'm still not fully informed on the subject. And so I'm just up here trying to start some sort of a controversy and have someone holler out of the crowd there. It's not happening. I'm just a common person trying to express my fears and doubts, and those are it. I'm not confident about anything. In 1991, I feel no one has given me cause to be confident in 1991. It's always been, lately in the news, I've been hearing 1991, and recently in the radio, I won't tell you what radio station I heard this from, was sovereignty. Now, this disc jockey said sovereignty. The natives are talking about sovereignty, but so-and-so said you needn't worry about it because they'll only get half of the land. And it seems to me that it's going to become something really controversial, and prejudices are going to start rising, and people are going to get very... I think that if we weren't under the United States government, we'd be pretty much at war right now, because our land is being threatened, and land is something that's close to every native's heart here in Alaska, as far as I know. So, and that's all I got to say.
Okay. So. Thank you. Well, that started the ball rolling.